Welcome to the ninth Supercoach Coach preseason podcast, and I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day everyone, shit's about to get real.
This week, for the last preseason episode, we're going to take a look at the rookies, answer a few questions from Twitter and Facebook. But before we jump into all that, Mark, we've had the first set of teams announced for the Carlton-Richmond game on Thursday night. So
no Vlasduin, no Sammy Rowe, and no Pettard either. So Vlasduin and Rowe are both emergencies. I think a lot of people are expecting Vlasduin to play and were willing to pay the $159,000 for him, his dual position. Might end up making a downgrade target or something, but it's a pretty expensive price to be paying for one. A little bit of worry that there's a bit more depth at Richmond this year than there has been in previous years, and Carlton seemed to opt for Casbolt over Rowe.
We'll start with the backline rookies. We'll go through probably with the locks on each line and then discuss some of the maybes in contention for our last rookie spots. So in the backline, Mark, who do you see as a locks?
Thank God for Brett Goods. Absolute lock, scored really well in the preseason. Pittard didn't necessarily score great through the preseason, but he's been around for a while now and Port will put the ball through him. And Turlick, a mature age recruit at the Demons, scored pretty well in the preseason. He's not going to get you a lot of points most games, but should be a lock in Melbourne's side, hopefully. And so that'd be my three locks. And then I know a lot of people are looking to play between four and five rookies in defence, so there's a few more maybes in that list as well.
Agree with you there on the three locks, Mark. Now, the maybes are a tiny bit trickier. We've got Stevenson from Port Adelaide, Campbell Heath from Port Adelaide, and Sam Doherty from Lions. Stevenson and Heath both came from other clubs that they were struggling for opportunity at. Heath was from Sydney, sorry.
Sydney, and Stevenson from West Coast.
Stevenson and Heath both scored all right in the preseason. Didn't set the world on fire, but Stevenson had the slight edge there.
Heath's more of a taller lockdown player than Stevenson. So I think there's probably more competition for Heath's spot with they've recruited Jack Homsch, and he's hasn't been fit through the NAB, but he did play a practice game on the weekend, and that might be a bit of a worry. If Stevenson and Heath are both named, I'd take Stevenson first, but I'd probably take Heath as well if I needed another defender, which I don't because I have Luke Brown sitting on my pine. Apparently the injury news isn't so bad on Luke Brown, which is a bit of a relief. Sam Doherty could turn out to be the best player out of all of these, but just in his second year and might struggle to actually get a game with the Lions early on especially, and sort of didn't score great during the NAB and was a sub, so that has me worried a little bit more about him.
Now, to the midfield, Mark, who are the locks as you see it there? I have Omira there from the Gold Coast, having been drafted in that mini draft.
Absolutely. I think he'll be in everyone's team. And I've got Ollie Wines as a lock as well. He's the expensive rookie that seems to be in everyone's team. $169,000. He's proven already that he has the body size and shape to compete at AFL level. We played through the midfield at Port Adelaide and given plenty of opportunities, I would think. So could average above 70, which would be a pretty good result in the midfield. So that'd be my two locks. Have you got anyone to add to the locks list?
No, they're probably about it. I think we were thinking that Crouch might have been one, but his job security wasn't up to scratch. I think the remaining rookies probably have either queries on their scoring potential or on their job security. I'm hoping Wines turns out like a mini Toby Green. I'm assuming that's why most of us have selected him based on his body type, but still feels like a lot of money to be paying for him. So he's still a lock for mine, but only marginally. The maybes, probably number one on that list, is Viney from the Melbourne Football Club, who's had a lot of hype.
Yeah, we haven't seen a lot of him, though. He injured his neck in the first NAB round. Played two tagging roles that night. I think he played on Swallow, and if they played, it might have been Cochin in the other game, but he followed around two superstars, didn't score great, picked up a neck injury. So there's probably a few concerns around Viney himself, and if you're not picking a lot of midfield rookies, he might be someone that you leave out, but he has been or have been told that he'll play round one for the D's.
Yeah, I think job security is the thing that's definitely there. Just I think we were hoping that Viney'd be a 70 plus averaging rookie, but there's a bit
doesn't
of a
look
query
like
on whether that actually happened. Now
still looks good for a bench spot.
Yeah, certainly. I think the next one that we're going to talk about, somebody that's probably shot up in recent days because we've heard that Boydie from Western Bulldogs has gone down with a slight injury and he'll miss the first few rounds. So that makes Kobe Stevens sound even more tempting now, who moved over from West Coast because of a lack of opportunities and is now going to play for the Western Bulldogs. Quite a talented kid. I think the one knock on him was probably his disposal efficiency, I think, was the reason why He couldn't string together consistent games. The main thing is he costs $176,000, and that means if you're already selecting Wines, it's really quite hard to select two players. Yeah, two rookies that are $170,000 plus. In the past, we've typically recommended people stay away from these types of players because the extra $60,000 is actually rather hard to recuperate. That's actually two large price increases for a rookie that's taken out in terms of value. So it's a bit harder to pick both Wines and Stevens. You'd probably be looking at it if you were playing. I know some people are playing up to four rookies on ground starting, so starting six rookie midfielders. So I think Stevens is probably a player that comes into consideration if you have that type of structure. But if not, would you question Wines' selection against Stevens?
Not a bad question there, Marcus. It's possible they could average about the same and Stevens might hold up even a little bit better, but I just rate Wines a little bit higher. So I'd definitely be taking Wines out of the two. I can definitely see why people would take both of them. I think that there's enough rookies that you probably don't need to take them both if you only got three starting rookies. I can see some teams probably will, though, because a lot of the other ones do carry risks with them. But yeah, I'd take Wines out of the two if I had to. What do you see him averaging?
Stevens, I think the fact that we're even talking about him probably means that I see him averaging, you know, at least 70 plus. I think, do you know the age on him, Mark?
I think he's had about 4 years in the system, so he'd be about 23 or so. Scored 100 in the NAB game over in Perth against the Dockers where they lost by 100 points. And then in the last NAB game, copped the knock to the ribs and was actually in some doubt for round one, but seems to have recovered from that all right. What do you reckon about Matt Jones from Melbourne? 25, mature age, come from the VFL, scored 100 in the last game as well. There's some chance that he'll play a bit of a tagging role, so might be fit into the Magna role from last year. But then again, Magna did all right. So if you could get a few early decent scores out of him and he could avoid the vest and he's picked, I reckon Jones is a pretty good pick for your bench.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who are playing a lot of rookies in the midfield are quite hopeful on Jones for this weekend because a lot of people are needing him to be selected for their team structures. So it'll be interesting to see whether he turns up or not. But yeah, more than worthy to play on your bench. But I think a lot of people probably looking at him for the last spot on their benches. So
I think Evans and Kent from Melbourne probably fighting for a midfield spot as well. And if Jones isn't named, taking one of those guys might not be so bad either. What about the expensive option of Lachie Whitfield? $199,000 has shown in the NAB that he can score over 90. Definitely has heaps of potential, great running capacity, moves into space well. But they've said that he'll probably only play 10 to 15 games this year. And we did see GWS resting players a lot last year. Do you think that we should be taking him given his very expensive price tag?
No, and you'd assume that 10 to 15 games forecast means that he's also a sub-risk. So at that price point, definitely not. I'd have him behind both Wines and Stevens if you're looking to splash a bit more cash.
Wouldn't surprise me to see him average more than Stevens for the games where he's not the sub, though. I think he's got a fair bit of scoring potential there, but I agree with your assessment. So I guess that means you're probably a no to Tumpus as well, because he, probably a little bit similar to Whitfield, looks the goods and looks like he'd score well, but just a bit of a sub-risk, expensive, and maybe won't play every week.
I mean, you've got to be really quite certain about your rookies to be able to take them at the price point. Like, we've got Wines playing for Port Adelaide, who are clearly going to blood rookies, and he's got a body like a man. And with Kobe Stevens, he's come from another club. He's 23 years old. There's been an injury in the midfield and quite potentially a spot for him permanently in the best 22. Like, that's why we're looking at these guys. So guys that have any sort of query on their job security or even scoring, you should definitely look to divert your extra, you know, with these guys like Whitfield, that's $80,000 that you could be saving. That's a lot of money. Like, that moves you up from Nathan Fyfe to Joel Selwood type thing. Like, that's a difference between a premium and an ultra premium in the midfield. So
sure. Now, another slightly expensive rookie that I quite like is Brad Hill from the Hawks. He was a sub a lot last year. Stephen Hill's brother has plenty of potential. I think that the Hawks will look to inject someone like him into their side this year. I think he brings some pace to the midfield that they'll need, possibly sort of half forward, half back as well. And his scoring potential probably just worries me a little bit, even when he's not the sub, that he could average 50 or 60 rather than 60 or 70. But I do think he'll get a few games for the Hawks this year, and is not the worst selection at $155,000.
Is Simpkins' recruitment from Geelong a worry? You've got to think, like, they picked him from Geelong's rookie list to go over onto their senior list. So they obviously have some confidence in his playing ability.
Yeah, and he's looked right in the preseason as well. I didn't mind Simpkins. I just think that Hill brings things to the table that Simpkins possibly doesn't.
Yeah, I just worry that they're probably playing a similar mold in terms of the function that they'll play for Hawthorn if they come into the team.
Now, the last one, and I can't believe that we're talking about him last, is Kane Mitchell. Earlier in the preseason, season or really early on, we spoke about our locks, I think, and Mitchell came up. He's their mature age rookie. He looks like he can get heaps and heaps of the ball. He's got great running capacity. He plays for an average side. His disposal is very average for AFL level. We talked about him as being a lock, but now the Port fans are saying he might not even be in their best 22, and it's going to be really, really tricky because they play on the Sunday, and there's a very good chance that he's going to be named on an extended bench. So we're going to be going into the first few games without necessarily knowing whether he will be in the team or not, which is a bit of a concern. But I think if he was named to play, I'd probably be looking to take him onto my bench at least.
Yeah, I think we won't know before the Carlton-Richmond game whether or not he's actually playing for sure. But by the time we hit the next round of lockouts, there's Western Bulldogs v Brisbane Lions 140 Saturday. We'll well know that they're trimmed down bench by then. So you'll well be locked out from Carlton-Richmond, but they're not many. And we've seen the rookie options aren't really there anyway from those clubs. So just got to keep your eye out for the team sheets when they come out with Mitchell. But yeah, I got to agree with you, Mark, just with the options that are out there. I mean, we were initially thinking that it could quite comfortably support four playing on-field rookies in the midfield, but that's actually going to be a fair risk to run. I'm not saying it's a good or bad risk, it's a considered risk that each person has to decide if they want to take, but it's a bit harder to support even, I reckon, three rookies running on ground. There's a bit of queries over job security as the season nears.
Yeah, I think that Crouch not being named last week put a shock through everyone's teams a little bit, especially those teams with the four rookie mids. I think there's a fair chance that Crouch comes in next week when Adelaide play their second game. And if he was already in the mix and he'd already been locked in, I think we'd be feeling a lot better about the four rookie mids. So personally, I think the depth is still there to be going that option, especially if you're looking at a couple of the more expensive guys. And even if you get one wrong, potentially it might be side-swapping to a Crouch sort of player, and we've got 30 trades, so you can afford to take a little bit of gamble and get one of these guys wrong and trade across to him. Obviously, you'd hope that you didn't need to do that, but it's sort of part of the game, and the extra trades, you're going to probably do a couple of corrective trades anyway, so I think it allows you a little bit of flexibility in doing that. And I think, yeah, part of the game is taking risks on rookies, mate, and putting them on the ground.
I'm probably not going to run the risk of four in the midfield anymore, Mark, now with Crouch out. I think even if he comes back, I still worry about his sub-risk. Like I said, I can see the appeal of it. It's down to each person to decide whether they're more comfortable taking the risks with the rookies this season or more comfortable taking it with the mid-prices.
We know where you sit on that one, mate.
Yeah, well, I only recently changed after Crouch ran out, Mark.
Recently, you mean 2009?
I have tended toward that.
We're going to move on to the rucks now. Now, for a lock for your bench, Curry looks like a lock, even if he's not named round one, which there's a fair chance that's going to happen, that he's not actually named.
If Goldstein doesn't perform, you think they're going to bring Curry in to give him a shot. And like they said, they're not going to play two rucks on ground. So if he gets a spot, it'll be ahead of Goldstein. And you think him playing number one ruck, he's going to get some pretty decent scoring. And so he only needs to play like a handful of games to go up enough in price to serve as a cash cow.
So I'm glad that we've got you on the show tonight, Marcus, because I really want to hear your opinion on Mark Blickabs, because I know that the coach has talked him up a little bit, but then I'm pretty sure he talked up Byron Stevenson as well. So they're gonna talk up these rookies to try and give him a little bit of confidence. And I know that they say he's developed his game, but then they asked him on, I think, maybe it might have been 360 last night, or is he going to play round one? And he said, oh, he's definitely in the squad of 25. But that's not really saying that much, and that's certainly not guaranteeing him a spot for round one. And what are your thoughts there, mate?
To be honest, he's not in my team, so I think that says a lot. I'm kind of glad that the Virtual Sports decided to release him as a ruck rookie as well, because to me, that's just going to suck people in. I mean, if you're a Geelong supporter, you know that we have massive raps on our kids. We won the VFL Grand Final last year on the back of kids, so we're going to be looking to blood even more kids again this year. And Blitzards, like, if not for the fact that we have ruck issues right now, should be like way, way, way behind the number of kids that we've drafted but haven't been able to give games to. So in terms of a midfielder, he'd never get a spot in front of any of them. In terms of forward, the same. The only reason he'd get on ground is to play this ruck position, which he's only learned to play this year. Last year, he was playing forwards in the VFL. This year, he learned to play ruck because we sent three of our ruckmen out for procedures early in the preseason. But we are expecting West to be pretty close for round one. And if he is, you'd think that Blitzarves won't play. And we are also expecting McIntosh, who were recruited to replace Otto, and we're expecting Vardy, who is definitely ahead of Blitzarves, to return within the first few rounds as well, I'm pretty sure. So once they're back in the team, Blitzarves won't get a game again.
Yeah, that sounds pretty correct. So a lot of it is gambling on the Geelong Rucks and when they will actually return, and you're fairly confident that they were going to return in those first few rounds.
Well, I
Most
mean,
people,
once West is back, you'd think that he won't get a spot. So,
but who would second ruck then?
well, we'd just play Josh Walker would be ahead of Blitzarves. We've used him as a pinch hitting ruckman before.
Okay, I thought that Blitzarves were ahead of Walker.
Oh, I definitely wouldn't think that Blitzarves ahead of Walker. I'd have Blitzarves ahead of Walker if we needed to play a ruckman throughout the whole game because Walker doesn't have the running capacity.
But he's a
Walker's a
better
forward.
forward.
Yeah, Walker's a forward that pinch hit in the ruck. He did make our team 7 times last year, and he was also promoted together with Blitzarves onto our senior list. So
Okay.
Walker might be breaking into our 22, like genuinely overtaking potentially Podziadli. So he's not in competition in my mind with Blitzarves at all.
Okay, well, I don't want to talk him down too much on the podcast because I didn't necessarily expect to agree with you, but I certainly do. I've had Blitzovs out of my team. I think most people have him in their team. And I have Dorr sitting in that fourth ruck position, mainly because I think that Dorr will actually get a few games at some stage throughout the year and might get enough to get a price rise at some stage.
That's the same reason I have him in. I mean, you look at the other options and you've got to think that Dorr's the best chance there, even though he's not really ready to play AFL footy in terms of understanding structures and getting
His
his
marking ability might just get him across the line.
exactly. He's just an absolute monster of a man, and you'd think that he'll squeeze into the AFL team a few times this year. And
Now,
unlike Curry and Goldstein, he'll play forward pinching in the ruck, so he's not competing directly, you wouldn't think, with Curry and Goldstein.
sure, so if Goldstein went down or got dropped, maybe they might play Curry and Dorr on the same team. Another option is Gorringe from the Suns, who's been talked up a fair bit over the preseason. He's a bit more expensive, though. You probably have Smith rucking with Dixon ahead at the moment, but you would think Gorringe will get some games this year. So he's not a terrible selection, just might be tying up a little bit too much money on your bench. A forward ruck lock that I have in my team is Sam Rowe. Like, he is named an emergency for Carlton. There's not many forward rucks that are actually a chance of playing this season. So I have Rowe in concrete in my team. I have him on the forward bench.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just, to me, that's committing a, I don't, it's committing a non-playing player to your team from the start. So
Not necessarily, though. And the fact that, like, I have Ryder and Cox. So having him on my forward bench gives me so much flexibility with moving my team around as the season progresses.
but you need either one of Dorr or Curry to play for him to be relevant. That's what I meant. Like,
Or Rowe to play, because Rowe's
yeah.
probably as much chance of those two of playing. So between the three of them, there's some chance that one of them
Yeah.
will be getting a game.
To me, like that's just a lot of spots. Like, there are 3 spots in your team held up on players that like may or may not play. Like,
Oh, because you have better forward rookie options, do you?
no, well, we're gonna get through them now, but I'm gonna try and find a forward rookie that's at least starting in the first
I've
round, I
been
think.
looking for 3 months.
Yeah, well, if there's none that are gonna actually be selected come t Thursday night, then I might actually look to Rowe, but he's certainly not locked into my team. He's probably like last option. If nobody else is selected, then I'll take this guy who's an emergency and who's forward ruck eligible, but certainly wouldn't be seeking it out from the start. Like, if Need, for example, from Port Adelaide got a starting spot on Thursday when team sheets are released, then I'd pick him with the hope that he's going to keep his spot rather than picking a Rowe type.
Sure, I think though that given the fact that Dorr and Rowe are probably just as likely as each other to actually get realistic games this year, and so I'd at least put Rowe onto my ruck bench rather than Dorr because he does open some flexibility with the way your team goes in the future. So I think that either as a forward or a ruck, I would definitely be locking someone like that into my team.
Well, if you don't, you pretty much need one of Dorr or Curry to go up in price so that you can trade down to
Sam Rowe
Rowe.
sort of
Yeah,
player,
so
yeah.
that's what you're more dependent on if you don't start them. So I can see your point for why you'd have him locked into your team. He certainly works structurally, but McCaffrey's probably the real genuine lock in the forward line.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that we even really need to discuss McCaffrey. I guess the issue is whether he goes on the ground or on the bench. In order to make my structure work, I've been trying desperately to find a way to get him onto the ground. It's not necessarily that I think he's going to average 90, but if he can average 60, 70 in that last forward spot at the start of the season, I'd be fairly happy. And it would allow me to play an extra premium midfielder. So I think I can get more points doing that than playing an extra premium up forward. So I like the idea of McCaffrey on the ground, but as we're going to discuss, that involves finding another forward rookie that could take one of the bench spots. And I've been searching and searching and searching and still not really coming up with anything. It would actually not surprise me if none of these guys that we talk about are named in round one.
So one of them we talked about was Need, who's a smaller player at Port Adelaide. And the issue with him is that he's got to make it onto the best 22, but he's in direct competition. And Michael, the previous winner of Supercoach, brought this up, that Hitchcock should be in direct contention with Need for that small forward spot.
And we haven't seen any of Hitchcock, and given his injury history, I'm not really confident enough to pick him without seeing anything from him. So that would worry me about Hitchcock. And he's also got Robbie Gray coming back in. Momfrey's they've added to the team. So the small forward spots are going to be pretty busy at Port.
You've got Tom Lee, who Scott Waters was interviewed about and actually said that he was a good Supercoach selection for us this year. But then
I don't think Scott Waters plays Supercoach.
Yeah. Going on with what he then described Tom Lee's position in the team to be, we now understand that Tom Lee is probably not going to start in their best 22, but is likely to force his way into the best 22 as the season unfolds. So he might be a downgrade target in the future, but
They've got a lot of small forwards down there. Milne, Dennis Lane, Saad, Maleras, and I think they've got Wilkes playing up there, Rewalt. They've got plenty of forward firepower that would be competing with Lee for a spot this year.
You think Staker might be relevant in a few rounds' time when he returns from injury? So that could be somebody to look out for.
Forward and defence. Yeah, I really like Staker as someone that could pick, and he would solve a lot of issues if he was just fit. But it's really hard to pick someone that might be 3 or 4 weeks away after they aggravated an injury, have a terrible injury history, and might not necessarily be best 22 until they really do get fit. Like if he, say, doesn't play for 6 weeks, he's going to be a really, really good downgrade option. So I wouldn't be starting Staker personally.
You've got Spanger, who's moved from West Coast to Hawthorn, but Hawthorn also recruited Lake.
He is reliant on at least one of the Hawk key position defenders being injured. And it's possible that one of them will be injured for the entire season and Spanger will get heaps of games and be great. Wouldn't surprise me completely to see him named round one to play the Cats. And if he does, he might just turn out to be the best of the option. He's been around for a little while, but his job security is not going to be great. And he's
not going to be a super scorer either.
And he's going to be a little bit like Tom Murphy. I think that all the Hawks fans at the footy, you're probably not going to like him very much. They're going to call for him to be dropped every week. And yes, there's always going to be a bit of a worry around him.
Now, are we going to take some questions, Mark?
Yeah, let's just run through a few of the questions that we had off social media. Ruffhead, Giles or Cruiser? Which one?
Take Cruiser ahead of them. Giles, just don't trust the second season in the AFL. And Ruffhead, he's going to play more on the forward line this year.
Sure, I think I'd probably say the same. Probably think it's a little bit closer than you do there. Next question we've got is from Jimmy Mack, and he says, I'm thinking of picking Billy Longo to go alongside Cox, Curry and Blitzovs and using the cash on a gun mid. What are your thoughts?
That's a pretty risky strategy, especially because Longer is 280K.
And Leuenberger might be back like round two, round three, and take over all of the ruck work, especially since they have Stephen Martin sitting up forward.
So I don't know. I think his spot in the best 22 is still a bit shaky.
Definite no for me. What do you think about starting with Leuenberger and just carrying him on your bench and hoping that a Curry-type player plays in the first couple of weeks?
Well, you probably got to take a look at teams first, I guess, but I probably wouldn't do it. That's because ruckmen tend to be like a candidate for being subbed out like early when they don't have good fitness under their belt. I think they tend to be the players that are subbed out. So,
which means we might still be able to get Leuenberger for 300,000 even after he plays 3 or 4 games.
Yeah, I think I'd at least wait for him to play the 2 games, be on the bubble, and then you can consider whether you want to make a correction trade to him because he's really good value. But that's probably as much of a look as I'd take with Leuenberger.
The last question then is from Shane Gallia. Captain options, Josh Kennedy, Ablett, Swan or Pendles?
Round one, keep it simple, stupid. Gary Ablett, captain. Scott Pendlebury, vice captain. I think we'll just leave it as that.
Yeah, I think I'd go the same. I can understand why you'd go Kennedy against the Giants in round one, but I'd take Ablett against the Saints. And I know Pendlebury averages about 135 against the Kangaroos as well. So, and Swan's average is probably about the same as that as well, about 135 against the Roos recently. So, yeah, I think that either of the Collingwood boys or Ablett would probably be good. I'll be starting with Ablett and seeing how we go from there.
Okay, I think that's it for this week's podcast, Mark. So
let's just wait for tomorrow night when the team sheets tear this podcast apart.
Yeah, it'll be interesting what tomorrow throws at us. So thanks, everyone, for a strong preseason. This is now the 9th show that we've put out, so thank you all for your support.
We really do appreciate it, guys. Jump onto the homepage and comment any thoughts that you have on the podcast, and we'll try and get back to you in a timely manner.
And over the last few weeks, we've fluctuated to even hit top podcast for sports and rec in Australia, so thank you guys for that. And yeah, don't forget that we are offering $100 a week on our website for the best weekly article published.
Seen some good ones so far.
So we're in the third round of voting right now.
Anyone can win.
And of course, we're giving out $1,000 to our cash group. And to gain the code to join for that, you sign up an account with us, and the email will include a code to join our Supercoach cash group for $1,000. So
no reason not to do that. Get across to supercoachcoach.com.au and sign up. And come onto the forums and chat with us.
All right. Thanks so much for the preseason, guys. And we'll catch you after the first lockout. See ya.
With some actual scores. Ah!